Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, January 2nd, 2015, and I'm so proud of myself because I actually got the year right, unlike December 31st, where I decided it was already 2015.
Which is funny because you also got the ACM episode number wrong that same day.
Oh, I was on a roll. Go me. Well, it's a wonder I was capable of even showing up and recording shows.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Hey, that voice you're hearing is Brian Chaffin. Thank you for being here today, Brian.
I am the world's worst vacation taker.
You are, because you have been on a podcast with me every single day this week that we've recorded something.
It's true.
Yeah. So vacationing, you are failing at it.
Yeah, I've written up articles too.
Yeah. Again, vacationing, you're failing at it. Yeah. Well, you know, next week we'll be at CES and you'll be able to relax there because that's how CES works. Oh, I'm so funny. Hey, we have a special guest with us today, Jim Tanos from Tech Review.
Jim, I am so sorry that it's come to this. You're really dragging the bottom of the barrel for so soon into this podcast life, and you got to go and dredge me up. So
that's nonsense, Jim. Jim, long term listeners and long term readers of TMO will, of course, know that Jim got his writing start with the Mac Observer, and we miss him terribly. But he's been doing great things over at Tech Review.
Yeah, you have.
It's the feeling is mutual. It's you guys. I was very fortunate. I was just a humble reader and listener to the podcast at the time. It was pretty much just the Mac Geek Gab. But I decided one day a few years ago to write in, and you guys responded, and I started writing for you guys, and it was a wonderful experience. And I'm sad to go, but I had a calling to write about more than just Apple, and to do it in my own crazy way. So. Yes, I'm now over at Tech Review, which is TechReVue, because all the good domains and logical domains were taken.
Oh, and, I thought you just being all hoity and toity.
No, it was it was hard. If you're looking to start a web business, there's a reason why all the good web businesses these days who don't have lots of money up front to buy a big domain, they still have all these crazy names. It's a pretty depressing thing to do a domain search, but. We cover a lot of different things at Tech Review. It's pretty Apple heavy, but we also do a lot of gaming and Windows. So if you work with multiple computing environments, or if you like to talk about stuff that's outside of Apple, we tend to hit that pretty well over at Tech Review.
Which is awesome.
All right, enough with the plugs. Good Lord. But Jim, I was told
we needed to pad the show.
Jim's going to be helping us out next week at the Mac Observer again. So anyway, it's nice to be able to introduce you to our readers and listeners.
It is. And Brian, this is my show. I'm the guy that gets to say, hey, enough with the plugs.
That's true. But then my signature is silent on the paycheck. So, you know.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I love you. Did you get your haircut? You're looking really nice today, Brian.
Today, if we can get done with the show, I'm going to get my haircut done today.
All right. Well, then we'll get through the show because I know you really need a haircut. And
I do.
Yeah. So, all right. The first thing I wanted to hit, since we're talking about Jim doing having written for us, he does still occasionally write for us. He'll be helping out next week while we're at CES. And thank you, Jim, for jumping in and helping out. But you wrote a story this morning for us about this whole supposed iCloud hack thing. And I thought it'd be cool if you could explain that. Maybe we could sort this out and figure out what's really going on with this claim that iCloud is easily hackable.
Yeah, well, it's actually it's an interesting thing because we're not entirely sure yet if this is legitimate, but basically late last night, so New Year's Eve, everybody's enjoying their holiday, a hacker, a coder, whatever you want to call him, comes out and posts a little tool, and he calls it in Apple style, little lowercase I, dict, D-I-C-T, presumably for dictionary, because what he claims this is a brute force dictionary-based attack on iCloud accounts that he claims can defeat Apple's automatic account lockout that they've got. So they've got this thing where if you try to log in in a short period of time, five times in a row with a failed password, it locks the account to prevent this kind of brute force attack. But also, now that's one side of the story, and it's plausible to find a workaround to get around that five attempt limit. The more interesting part of this is that he also claims it can circumvent two-factor authentication, which is the system that Apple and a lot of companies are using. It's a very smart system where when you log in from a new device, a new web browser, a new smartphone, it requires you to verify through some other method, which is usually a text message to your phone or a code through a specialized app, or even back in the enterprise days, a little key fob or something. That's a lot harder to crack. Yet he claims that this little tool can crack both of those, and using a dictionary-based brute force attack, crack your iCloud password. Exactly. That's my response too, which is kind of, okay. There's been no official response from Apple, no official response, at least as of a couple hours ago when I last checked, from any security firms. But some users through Reddit and Twitter are reporting that it works, and some are reporting that it doesn't work. The thing here to keep in mind, listeners, is that this isn't some broad exploit where all iCloud accounts are suddenly vulnerable to a massive online hack or something. This is it's got to be directed at a specific account. So they have to know your specific Apple ID, which may not always be public facing. It's not your public email address that you use on web forms and things like that. But they've got to know that. And your password for iCloud has to be in this dictionary. Now, this dictionary is probably huge because it's, you know, with scripts and modern computers, you can run through billions of words in no time at all. But if it's not the kind of word or character set that would be in a set dictionary, a set, you know, master list of variables, it's they're not going to get you. So those are the two factors there. So if your password is common, if it's first of all, a literal dictionary word, you should change it. Or if it's a common type of, you know, like password 1234, something like that, you should change it too. Because that's the kind of stuff that's vulnerable to these sort of
I always go attacks. I go up to five. So my password is password 12345 because that's going to like foil
everybody. Oh, that's brilliant. No, no one's going to guess that.
No one at all. Jim, now is this being released like haha got you, or is it I figured this out, here's the information so you can fix it kind of?
Well, the guy he wrote up some pretty terse notes at GitHub where he released the tool, and those are posted in our article at TMO. He claims that he did it to alert Apple for the public good, unquote, which is what they always say, or, you know, at least the ones that aren't that aren't intentionally hacking and getting the
lulls. Well, a lot of security researchers get frustrated because Apple doesn't actually bother responding to them or acknowledging what they're saying.
That is true. Although usually you hear something like, I told Apple about this 6 months ago and they still haven't patched it. Here, from what it seems, he just came out. He didn't attempt to contact Apple initially. And then on top of that, releasing it on a holiday like that, with no announcement, no warning. He knows that it's going to take probably a matter of days for everyone to get online here and start addressing this, both at Apple and at some security firms who also deal with this stuff. So he knows that if it is true, if it is effective, if it does what it says, it's going to be out there for several days, putting iCloud users at risk before any company has a fair chance to address it. So that's little
a good point. That is kind of douchey.
Yeah, exactly. That's you said
that
it.
Makes me question the altruistic nature of his claims.
True. Yeah, it's you always wonder why they put that in there, and is it just a cover your butt kind of thing, or is he just a young guy or girl who doesn't know doesn't understand the implications and is
that's true? Yeah, lack of experience. Yeah. In the real world.
Okay, that's a possibility too. Yeah. So what it comes down to is here's a potential serious hack to bypass the security measures and get into an iCloud account. but it's not necessarily something that's going to impact everyone. Because if you don't have a password that's already in this database, there's not much that they can do.
You know, and let's just take this opportunity to remind folks that you shouldn't be using the same password everywhere. You shouldn't be using the easy passwords. You should have good passwords. You should use Apple's random password generator or 1Password's random password generator. My favorite method is banging on the keyboard. I just kind of close my eyes and bash out a bunch of numbers on the keyboard, and I use 1Password to be able to access them anywhere, because 1Password is awesome.
Yep. And I recall writing for TMO a few years ago, and we'll see if we can find it and pass it along to you guys. I wrote an article on password methodology. And another thing to remember with passwords, too, is that unless someone is trying to get, like, someone who knows you is trying to guess your password, which is usually not what you have to worry about with these type of attacks, adding additional characters both before and after a easy to remember word is a great strategy, because if they're attacking you using computing resources, each additional character exponentially increases the computing time and resources needed to brute force the password. So if you have a hard time remembering passwords, or you can't rely for whatever reason on iCloud Keychain or on 1Password, something like that, pick your wedding anniversary or something. Put that in, and then add the first letter of your name, for example, and repeat that 5 times before the dates of your wedding anniversary, and then your wife's first letter of your wife's maiden name, and repeat that 5 times at the end of those date numbers in the middle. And so you've got an easy to remember password in the middle, and then before and after it, you've got the same character, so it's easy to remember, repeated multiple times. And that's the type of password that's very, very hard to break. I mean, it's still possible, but it'll take so long that your account becomes just not worth it for the people who are trying to do that. Because for them, it's a numbers game. You're not important. It's how many can they crack in a certain number of minutes. And when you make it that much more difficult for them, your account's not an easy target.
That's a really clever password scheme. I like that.
Throw in a capital letter, too.
Yeah, that's right. And right, all these things, you want to mix in at least one. If you just have 1 capital letter... Or one special character. Each time you increase the set that you're dealing with in terms of the variables per character space, that makes it, again, it increases that exponential difficulty. So it's a really smart way to kind of blend memorable passwords with secure passwords.
And of course, this is a moving. So Jim just gave us some nice, simple, excellent advice, and that's fantastic. And so I'm just going to come in and be all like curmudgeon-y and point out that the this is an ever-moving target as computing resources continue to increase.
Yeah, everything I just said will be void by like next Tuesday. But that's that's just
but hey, what we will until next Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. You'll feel really good and secure until next Tuesday.
Yeah, but I mean, but on a serious level, for the next few years, this is excellent advice.
Yes, that's true,
and it will eventually not be.
Hopefully, we'll eventually move to a more biometric-based system that becomes significantly more difficult to attack. And these type of brute force attacks would be just not effective.
True.
And, word.
But until then, coming up with well-thought-out passwords that and Brian, I'll even consider yours to be well-thought-out because you thought of this way to
nice.
Wow, excuse me. And for people that know me and know my sneezes, you understand how lucky everyone just got.
Yes.
Wow. But anyhow, Brian, the fact that you thought up the idea of creating a random keyboard smash to create a password, that's pretty cool too. I suppose if you have a cat, you could have your cat walk across your keyboard and create passwords for you.
Yeah, but every time that could become a bit annoying. I can definitely drop my meat hands on the keyboard pretty fast.
Do you make that sound when you're doing it?
Oh yeah,
excellent.
Actually, yeah, I do. Yeah.
That'll become part of your biometric password. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be great when you're in a coffee shop and have to log into something.
Well, if you just write a password that you could remember, then maybe everything would be okay. But no, you give me this long password. How am I supposed to remember that?
See, this is why I love you. Yeah. As long as we're here, we should probably fill everyone in on CES real quick. So if you're not familiar with CES, it's the International Computer Electronics Show, but they'll tell you it's just International CES.
Consumer Electronics Show.
What did I say?
Computer.
That's probably the reason why they want everyone to call it CES.
International CES. They want us to call it International CES.
And I've been, I don't even know how many years now, many years, and I'm still doing things like saying the full name wrong and being corrected, and it's a wonder I can dress myself in the morning. Anyhow, Brian and I will be at CES next week along with Dave Hamilton, and we're going to be checking out all the really great stuff that hopefully great stuff that we can find that we're pretty sure you guys will find interesting. If there's stuff that you're interested in learning more about, let us know. And you can text. Wow. You can tweet us at TMO Daily and let us know what it is that you're interested in having us check out at CES. And it's a giant show. So no guarantee that we can get to everything, but we will do our best. There are time constraints simply because to get from one part of the show to another, oftentimes you actually have to get on buses. It's that big.
True.
So anyhow, we will be there. Jim is going to be helping us out on the news desk next week, and we will be doing our TMO Daily shows from CES. So we will be giving you daily updates on all the cool and exciting stuff that we are encountering. So that should be fun. TMO Daily on the road. That'll be fun. So we are just about out of time. But Brian, you dropped a voice in there.
I gave you a segue.
You did. And
I gave you a segue and you looked at my segue and you scoffed.
I did. Because I wanted to make sure we got the CES stuff in there. And also, I was so taken aback by your ability to give me a really good segue that I almost didn't know what to do. But I found this actually, I didn't find. A good friend pointed out to me this website called weatherfrom.com. And it is the single best weather forecast site I have ever seen. And you need to check it out. And once you do, you probably won't need to use any other weather forecasting service again because it's so awesome. What it does is it figures out your location, and then it has your Jewish grandmother from Miami give you the forecast. And it is
your Jewish grandmother from New York can move to Miami.
There you go.
Let's
your Jewish grandmother from New York that moved to Miami, and she will give you the forecast along with her personal musings on life, politics, religion, and pretty much anything else that she feels like.
It's fantastic.
It is for the most part totally safe for work. There are very, very rare occasions when your Jewish grandmother, I believe her name is Gigi, will say something that's not safe for work. So just keep that in mind when you're showing all your coworkers. But yeah, go check out weatherfrom.com. Best weather forecast ever.
Good stuff. It's very, very entertaining.
Yes, it is. So Brian, thank you for joining me today,
mm-hmm.
as always. And Jim, thank you for coming on the show for the first time. It was really great to have you on here today.
It was my pleasure. It was great hearing you. I look forward to being around pretty much all of next week. So if you don't like something on the site next week, don't blame those guys. They're busy working hard in Vegas. Send your hate mail to me. I'll take it.
That's so sweet. And thank you to all of our listeners, and Happy New Year. It looks like we all survived, and it's great to have you all here.